とう、ありがとう、ありがとうございます、ありがとう、ありがとう、ありがとうございます。
Welcome to another episode. Today is about 迷信. That's a Japanese word for superstition, perfectly fitting for Friday 13th. 迷信 has two kanji. The first one, the 迷, comes from 迷 and 信 comes from 信じる. 迷 means to wander around, to not be able to find your way, to be lost. And 信じる means to trust or to believe.You might have heard the word 信号, which is the traffic light. It's a signal that you trust in. All right, so about Japanese or Japanese superstitions in Japan, they're a little different than what you might be used to your country. And I have prepared several ones here in Japanese. And if you are watching this on my YouTube,channel, then you might realize that there are no okurigana, so like the okurigana on top of the kanji. I haven't prepared that one yet. For me, it's not necessary, but if you sign up for the newsletter, you will get the script of this podcast episode with the readings on top. So just to let you know. All right, so let's start with number one.I read to you in Japanese and then explain to you the words and the grammar used therein and then the background. So, let's start. 夜に爪を切るとお湯の死に目に会えない。夜 is the night. 爪 is the nail. 切る means to cut. 夜に爪を切る means to cut your nails in the night. The to afterwards means if or when. So when you cut your nails in the night,親の死に目に会えない。親 is parent, she is death. 目に会う means like to see something, to experience something. 目に会えない, so that's the possibility in the negation. So you're not gonna be able to see the death of your parents, which means you will die before your parents. All right, let's read it once more. I read it a little slower and you can try to repeat after me.
夜に爪を切ると親の死に目に会えない。
So, the explanation here is in Japanese. I'm not going to read everything to you. I'll just give you the Japanese, the English translation, basically. So, refers to, so, 夜 has also the reading of 夜. And 爪, 夜爪 becomes, the thing is like, if you have two words and stick together to build a new word, to make up a new word, then usually the pronunciation, or at least with the 2, it gets a 10-10. So it's 夜爪. And 夜爪 has the same pronunciation of these two kanji, the 夜, which means like the 世 from 世界, the world. And 爪 means like to push together to like, to, how do you say, like, to squeeze something inside. So, like, it basically means to make your life shorter. So the yozume, the ones that the night nail, basically has the same pronunciation of making your life shorter, which means, of course, that you die earlier. Another reason, or like the meaning behind, is that in Japan, for cutting your nails, you were using a small knife. And if you did that in the night, of course, it would be dangerous in a dark room to do that because, well, it's difficult to see and you might cut your finger, and that might mean that it's dangerous and you could bleed to death. That's number one. Number two. Again, it's in the night.
夜に口笛を吹くと蛇が出る。
Alright, so 夜, again, the night.
口笛 means to
whistle. 口笛 is like, 口 is the mouth, and 笛 comes from 笛, from flute, so the mouth flute. And 吹く means to blow, so to blow the mouth flute is basically to whistle. I'm not good at that. Anyway, then to again is if or when. So when you whistle in the night, hebi ga deru. Hebi is the snake. And this is a superstition from the Edo period. So when Edo became the capital of Japan, not Kyoto. The meaning basically means that, so what you need to know is hebi is the Japanese pronunciation. The Chinese pronunciation of snake is ja. You might have heard the word jaguchi, which is the water tap, basically where the water comes out from. The water cock, I think. I'm not sure if that's the word that you use, or the faucet, whichever. Anyway, that's where the water comes out. And for the Japanese, this looks like a snake. Right, and the ja, the other pronunciation, the same pronunciation with a different kanji, this ja means like bad spirit or disturbance, so something negative. Yeah. So, if you, and so basically, yeah, that's basically means something negative, and something negative could also be a snake because it's the same pronunciation. And another possibility, like the background for that is that in the night at that time, and I think still maybe people do that nowadays, like bad people, like thieves or robbers or murderers or whatever, dangerous people use whistling as a signal, right? So, and of course, thinking about Japan, anything that is loud and in the night and anything could be a nuisance. So the sound of somebody whistling in the night could be a nuisance to the neighbors. So telling your kids that if they whistling in the night would make snakes come out is just also like a warning to kids not to do that, to like don't cause any trouble. Number three, 食べて すぐ 寝ると 牛になる. That's a funny one. If you eat and then go to sleep immediately, you become a cow. That basically has the background that it would be a bad, bad behavior. For example, if you have guests and you eat and then you follow, you're gonna go to sleep and you leave a guest alone or something like that, that would be bad. Right. And apparently it's also basically not good to go to sleep immediately because it's not good for your digestive system. Then the next one, 火遊びをするとおねしょをする. 火遊び, the 火 in this case means flame or fire. 遊び means to play, so play with fire. If you do that, するとおねしょ, that's like wetting your bed. おする. So yeah, so don't do that basically. And that's, I would say, just basically to like tell your kids, don't do something dangerous, don't play with fire, because kids, you want to make them feel embarrassed by saying, if you do that, you're gonna, you know, wet your bed. And I don't think anybody would like to do that. So that's that. The next one is also a very interesting one. It's kita makura. Kita means north and makura is the pillow. So don't, and basically it means don't sleep on your pillow direction to the north. There is a reason for that, basically two reasons. One reason is that in olden times, a dead person was buried or like laid out on, you know, before like they're gonna be buried on a pillow which was in the direction to north. So doing that basically means you're having the same position as a dead person. You don't want to do that. That could lead to you dying earlier, apparently, in Japanese myth. And another reason is that basically the northern part of a house in general, especially also in Japan, is usually the one which doesn't get that much sunlight. That means it's colder there, the air is moister, which heightens the possibility that you might get sick. That's why people usually in Japan try to get a house which has like the direction to south, because you get more exposure to the sunlight, which means that your the house is drier and you don't really get a cold that easy. Kitamakura. The next one is something that you might have heard already. Gohan ni hashi o tsukitateru. And you shouldn't do that. You should not. Gohan is like the rice, the boiled rice, cooked rice. Hashi is the chopsticks. And tsukitateru means like to stick it inside, like in upside down. The reason for that is that you usually only do that during a funeral. It means that you are offering the rice to the dead person, to the deceased person. So don't do that. Then we have the numbers 4 and 9. You might have heard yong and kyu, but there's also pronunciation shi and ku. And shi sounds like the same as death, and ku from that's something that worries you, that troubles you, that makes you feel pain and sorrow. So a negative feeling. And so in general, the numbers 4 and 9 are not used. Also, like, originally that comes from China, but like it's similarly used in Japan. For example, there is no room number 4 or room number 9. Sometimes there's like even like no 4th floor or like parking space number 4, number 9. And you should not bring along something to the hospital which has the number 4 or 9. So don't bring four flowers or 4, I don't know, whatever. And also, talking about that, do not bring potted plants to the hospital, to like a patient there. Because the potted plants, you know, they are rooted there. They want to stay there. So just bring like cut flowers. They don't mean that the person is going to stay there. All right. Then another one. 夜の雲を殺せ。朝の雲は殺すな。So, korose is like a really direct way of ordering somebody to kill. So, kill the spider in the night. So, kumo is the spider. And asa no kumo means like the spider in the morning. Asa is the morning. Korosu na is a very direct way of saying don't dare doing that. So, never, ever kill a spider in the morning. Again, with the negative implication of the night. And asa, the morning, stands because that would mean like the spider apparently brings good luck. So don't kill the spider in the morning because that means luck is gonna not come your way. I think my favorite one is the next one.
3人で写真を撮ると真ん中の人が即死する。
So if you take a picture of 3 people, the person in the middle is gonna die soon. 即死. That has something to do with like the past when picture making basically was difficult because like the focal point was only in the middle. So and for the Japanese, taking a picture like 写真 is like means the sha. Means to copy, and shin means like the reality, like to copy the reality. And in olden times, people thought that takes away part of your soul. And the person in the middle, which gets the most focus on, means that they are the ones that being like their soul is taken the most away of. So like, if you don't have a soul, you're gonna die. That's the background here. Then next one is,
霊柩車を見たら親指を隠す。
霊柩車 is basically the hearse. I had to look that one up. I didn't know that one in English. Hearse. So like the car that transports the deaf people. Yeah. So if you see a hearse, hide your thumb. 親指. 親 means parent and 指 is finger. So like the parent finger. And 隠す means to hide. So to hide your parent, hide your thumb if you see a hearse. That basically has the background that in Japan, in olden times, there was this superstition that a person who recently died has still their soul inside, and this soul could enter somebody else's body by the space between your nail and the skin next to your nail. So you could like enter it, especially the one from your thumb. So what you should do is to hide it so it cannot enter. Also, the meaning basically is if you see the hearse, first thing you should do, protect your parents. That's about that.
The next one. 嘘をつくと、エンマ様に舌を抜かれる。
嘘 is a lie. 嘘をつく to lie. エンマ is basically the Buddhistic version of the devil. And 舌 is the tongue. And 抜かれる comes from 抜く, to pull off, to take out. So if you lie, the devil will come and tear out your tongue. That basically, in general, that just basically means do not lie, because lying is something negative, of course, and that's another thing that basically parents tell or told their children not to do by, like, giving them a threat. Like, if you do that, you know, Emma-sama will come. Yeah.
Then we have スイカの種を食べるとおへそから芽が出る。
スイカ is the watermelon. 種 is seeds, so the seeds of the watermelon.
食べると、so if you eat the seeds, おへそ is the navel.
So if you eat seeds of watermelon, they will start to, sprout. So sprouts will come out of your navel. Sounds dangerous, right? This superstition basically refers to that sea is a little more difficult to digest, so it's better not to eat them. But this is just only a superstition.
Then the next one. 雷が鳴るとへそを隠す。
雷 is thunder and lightning. So 鳴る basically means something makes a sound.And 雷が鳴る basically means thundering. So if it thunders, again, we have へそ, the navel, 隠せ, to hide, in this case again. The reason behind that is 雷, thunder and lightning quite often happens in summertime. And usually it's hot there, so it's, you know, it's fine if you like, if you don't really wear enough clothing, you can like, maybe your belly is, you know, like not covered by clothing or anything, that should be fine. But if it thunders, that usually means there is some kind of a cold wind coming. And if your navel is out, is not covered, then that could mean that you could easily catch a cold.Also, the navel seems to be like the center of the spirit. So like, it could hit you because the, also kami nari, if you think about it, kami means like gods and nari, means like to thunder. So like, if the gods are angry at you, they might like hit you with thunder. So if you don't want to have that, then cover your navel. So we got some more.
靴下を履いたまま寝てはいけない。
靴下 are the socks. 靴 means a shoe. So something that you wear below, beneath your shoes, that's your socks.
履いたまま。The 履いた comes from 履く.
And that's the word for putting on clothing from below, like shoes and socks and skirts and pants, something like that. You pull them up from your feet.And mama means like in this case, like that way, in that, just without doing anything. So, in that state. So, with your shoes on.
寝てはいけない。寝て comes from 寝る,
to sleep. いけない means something is forbidden. You shouldn't do that. So, it's forbidden. It's not good. You should not sleep with your socks on. The reason for that is that in Japan,Dead people wear white socks. So you put socks on them. So if you sleep with your socks, that basically means like you are like when you are doing the same thing as what is being done to dead people, which means you will make it seem like you could be dead, and that could mean that actually it happens to you that you're gonna die. So yeah, that's that. Mm-hmm. The next one.
100回しゃくりをしたら死ぬ。
100回. So 100 times. So the thing is with 100, in olden times, people didn't really have a higher education. So like the number 100 was something they had no idea of. They just heard 100, but they had no idea like how much that means. So that's something like unbelievable. And しゃくり means hiccup. So if you hiccup is another thing, like people didn't know why somebody starts to hiccuping. Could be like something negative, right? And if something negative, something strange happens, and if it happens 100 times, that means something really bad is going to happen, like you die. All right. And that comes from a time where like medicine and medicinal knowledge was not really that advanced. So yeah, people had no idea why people are like having the hiccups. The next one is a little scary. カラスが鳴くと人が死ぬ。Where, so カラス is, what's the name of the bird? Yeah, I shouldn't have to have looked at that one up. Crow. So if crows cry, that means a person is gonna die. The background here is that in olden times of Japan, when people were still like buried below the soil, because like right now they're like, you know, like cremated, so you know only the dust is being left over. At that time, they also brought along some like some offerings, some, you know. And the crows knew that, so they came flying, getting this food mostly. And crows, of course, they cry, you know, like they. You know, they're like, wah, wah, wah. Okay, that sounds more like a duck, but anyway. So that meant if a crow was crying, was like, you know, making this sound, that means that person was somewhere not far away. Yeah, that's basically the meaning behind that. So just some more. The next one is also kind of strange. 落ちている櫛は拾ってはいけない。落ちている comes from 落ちる, something falls down. 櫛 is the comb. So, and 拾って comes from 拾 to pick something up. 拾ってはいけない, remember, いけない is something forbidden. So, a comb that fell on the floor, on the ground, do not pick it up. The reason behind that is that one of Japanese gods, Izanagi, had a specific comb, a really like magical comb, and he used that to drive off his enemies by throwing it at them. So the comb has like this like strange energy and power, and it's really useful. And if you drop it, something really useful, something basically from the gods, and that means like this, you know, like in Japan, everything has some kind of energy and soul, especially something that has been used for a long time. So a comb that might, you know, like drop on the ground might get angry. So don't pick it up again. Also, ku and shi, remember? Shi for death and ku for like... that you are like suffering from something, kushi. So kushi is the same pronunciation as the comb. So again, if you picked it up, you pick up death and sorrow. You don't want to do that. Okay, just some more. The next one, 夜に洗濯をしてはいけない。洗濯 means to wash clothing, to do laundry. So doing laundry in the night is, again, forbidden. してはいけない。Here we have to go back a little in the time. Usually, kimono were handed over from one person to the next after they died. But before that, you had to wash them. And you did that in the night. But that also means that if you wash things in the night, you still, like, again, with the kimono still has, like, the soul of the person who was wearing it before in there. And if you wash it in the night, if you do laundry in the night, it could attract other souls to this clothing, to the laundry. Also in feng shui, in Japanese that's fu sui. So fu is like wind and sui is water, wind and water. Apparently the night has like the wind that goes through the night also has like the possibility to attract negative energy. And that could mean like if, you know, like if the wind that is like drying the clothing in the night could like put some bad energy, bad spirits into your clothing. Okay, we have one more.
ヒガンバナを摘むと死者が出る。
Higanbana is a specific flower. If you have watched Kimetsu no Yaiba, Demon Slayer, you maybe have seen like these red, thinly like flowers. Let me like look up the English word for that. So it's the red spider lily. If you pluck it, red spider lilies are poisonous. Toxic, poisonous, yeah. So they usually were planted next to graveyards because they, how do you say, like, if there is something poisonous, then, you know, like mice or rats or other like animals don't come there because of the poison. But if somebody plucks away, takes, you know, these flowers, then the poison is not there anymore. So like all these like animals could come there and like, you know, what rats do or what like a mole does, and, like they grow, like they dig into the soil. And that could mean that like parts of that diseased person will appear. So do not pluck these flowers. All right, that's all for it. I hope you had fun listening to all these interesting stories. I would love for you to sign up for my newsletter. That's JapaneseWithMano.com/newsletter. Super easy, right? And if you want to support me a little more, of course, you can come up, sign up with one of my, for example, one-on-one lessons or my other courses, or just simply get the book Reading Japanese for Beginners. I will put all the links below. Thanks so much for listening and for watching. またね。ありがとうございました。バイバイ。どうも。